Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to São Martinho S.A. conference call to discuss the results of the third quarter of the 2022-2023 harvest. Today with us, we have Mr. Felipe Vicchiato, CFO and Investor Relations Officer, and Alessandro Soares, New Businesses and Investor Relations Manager. The audio and the slides of this call are being broadcast simultaneously on the internet at saomartinho.com.br/ir. We would like to inform you that participants will be in listen-only mode during the company presentation. Afterwards, we will start a Q&A session for investors and analysts only, when further instructions will be given. Should you need assistance during the conference, please press star zero to reach the operator. We would like to inform that some information contained in this conference may be projections or forward-looking statements. As such, they are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties that may lead these expectations not to materialize or be substantially different from what was expected. Now, we would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Felipe Vicchiato, who will start the presentation. Thank you, Mr. Felipe. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for participating in this call about the third quarter of 2022-2023 crop year. Let's go straight to page number four with the highlights of the quarter. Stable net revenue quarter-on-quarter, 1.5 billion reais, resulting from a combination of a higher price of sugar and lower price of ethanol, mainly because of the tax situation of ethanol that favored local market prices. Our EBITDA, you can see third quarter, 774, a drop of 13% because of the production cost increases and COGS. Basically, it has to do with diesel and labor, and adjusted EBIT, 35.8% drop, mainly because of the depreciation of investments made last year that had a major impact on the result of this year. The company net cash income dropping 33%, going to 505 million reais. Also due to increase in financial expenses, and I will be getting into details about that and the MTM mark-to-market derivatives were the main items and the position of CDI. Such as in the last quarter, we have another part of receivables of Copersucar being posted to our results. It was close to 100 million reais. From the viewpoint of volume sold in TR equivalent, we are talking about a growth of 5%. On the lower part of this slide, on the left, we have the net income and the cash income of the company, a normalized one. We go from 430 million. There was a negative impact of IFRS 16 of 59 million reais. Basically, this is the difference from what you take from the COGS in order to round this. When you put the financial expenses of leasing, besides 44 million reais in mark-to-market of biological assets because of the drop in prices of ethanol, with the cost of the formation of the sugarcane field, and in this quarter, we had 44 million reais, a negative difference, 127 million negative. when we talk about income tax through our result and the judicial deposit because of the IAA and the MTM of these derivatives, as I said before, with the financial result of the company, 233 million reals, with an impact on the net income, but 103 million were due to derivatives that are acknowledged, or 10, 15 year derivatives that have to be MTM. And as this opened quite a lot in the semester, there was a negative impact. And the debt of the company is mainly in CDIs, but we do have this situation that I have already referred to. And we are talking about a net income in the quarter of 519 million reals, with the effect of the precatório, or the court-ordered debt security. So this is very healthy for a quarter, in spite of all the impact that we had about the lower prices of ethanol in the domestic market, such as was the case in the last quarter. We were able to increase our exports of ethanol. cubic meters of ethanol exported, and this helped us minimize the issue of the average price of ethanol in the local market, in the domestic market. And if you have any questions about that, I can answer it during the Q&A. So we have the cash cost here. The cash cost for the company includes the whole maintenance capex that is acknowledged via depreciation afterwards, and our cash cost for the 9 months of the year, year to date for sugar, it was 1,732, a 22% increase, and for ethanol, 2,570 per cubic meter with an increase of 21%. And if we compare to the last quarter, the cash cost was more or less in line with what we reported last quarter. And for the end of the year, year to date, we are talking about a cash cost of 1,800 for the full year, and a cash cost of ethanol around 2,600, 1% higher than the year to date, 9 months. And the reason we have a weighted average here, the allocation of the fourth quarter, we have a higher capex than the average of the three previous quarters. And the main drivers of the cash cost for this year, diesel going up 51%. And it has never been posted with the PIS and COFINS, which means that the effect, practical effect on the cost year on year is higher than when we think about the diesel at the pump. Fertilizers, 42%, industrial input, 66%. So these are the major offenders, so to say, that drove our cash cost about 20%. I would like to remind you that the cash cost is a unit cash cost, and there is a higher, a lower dilution of fixed cost, because if you produce 3-4% less than last year per unit, you have this impact. And as of the next harvest, when we go back to a higher position because of a higher yield, then we will have the opposite effect of the operating leverage, which is the reduction of the unit cost of ethanol and sugar. On the next slide, we talk about the company indebtedness. We closed December 22 with a net debt of 3.9 billion reals, of which we have here the CDI, an indicator of 1.24, very comfortable. And on the lower left, you have the major figures that led this net debt to go up. We are talking basically about the working capital, 1.8 billion reals, and we have to separate into two parts of working capital, 300 million reals related to the corn harvest, the working capital of the corn itself, which is in the warehouses, and I have already started to crush part of the corn at Boa Vista. So I will be using this over time, and the remainder is basically because the cost of inputs went up very steeply, and I still have a lack of sugar, so to say, this working capital goes up, and it will decrease over time. And because of the PIS and COFINS exemption for ethanol, we accumulated the receivables and part of the ICMS. And with the return of the taxes, we will be decreasing this in the next few quarters. And the company had 2.7 billion reals at the close, a short-term debt of 1.2, a very comfortable situation. And the average term of the debt, 5.4 years. On the next slide, we have our hedge position. Still open for the 22-23 and 23-24. For 22-23, we hedged something close to 349 million tons of sugar at an average price of 2,500 per ton. And the price, and for the next harvest, the average price will be 2,300 per ton. And this amount is equivalent to 50-60% our own sugar cane, but it will depend on the mix of the next harvest. And the more I do, the lower it gets, closer to 50%. And conditioning the current conditions of prices for sugar and ethanol, we expect to have a more sugar harvest for next year, and it will be more close to 50%. And there is an important point here that was posted to the result of this quarter. The volume of sugar that we posted this quarter had an average price of sugar, which was much lower than the volume that we will have in the next quarter. And regarding the commercial strategy of carrying over more sugar for the March screens, the average price of our own sugar was quite low. Comparatively, we did the math here. So we had for the year about 1,900 per ton, and sugar for the next quarter, 2,500. So during the next quarter, we expect to have the margin of sugar at a much better level than the year to date, 9 months. And I would like to remind you that this price so far is a result of the hedge that we did over time. And this is the reason why we've sold our sugar at a lower price than the one that I used to do regarding Consecana, given the price of sugar as it continued to go up gradually in the last 18 months for the reasons that are very well known to all of you. So these are my initial remarks. So thank you very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now we will start the Q&A session for investors and analysts. In order to ask a question, please press star one. Our first question comes from Matheus Centel, UBS. Good afternoon, Felipe. Thank you for the presentation. I would like to know your expectation about the next harvest. Will it be in line with the estimate of the market rate to 10% of total product and the TRS cost. We expect a drop around 10, 15% or 20% given the higher dilution that we saw at the beginning of 2023. And I have another question. I would like to know about ethanol prices. And you have been positioning this differently in the quarters on your side. What about your talks between the industry and the government regarding the PIS and COFINS taxes and the impact on future prices and the export premiums? What can we expect? Because they were quite high in 2022, but we start to see a drop in these premiums. So thank you very much. Good afternoon. We have quite a lot of questions. So if I forget to answer one of them, let me know. Regarding the company expectation regarding yield, we will have a higher degree of certainty about the quarter. What I can tell you so far is that up to now, the rainfall was quite good and higher than the historical average. January was very good as well as December. And our sugarcane fields are going very well because of the variations that we have and the technology that we apply. So our estimate, I don't know what will be the average for the center south. I cannot tell you that, but we expect to have a yield higher than the center south. And we have made many investments in our field, and 8 to 10% for the center south sounds very aggressive to me. One thing is if you talk about 8 to 10% of the harvested area, but for the total area, I think it's a little bit too much because maybe you will harvest less, maybe you will plant more, and maybe the yield of the harvest will be higher. So you have to check the math. And if it were 8 to 10% center south, we would imagine that the sugar market would have a surplus much higher than it has today, around 3 million tons. And it would be more than that. And the rain is okay. The fields are okay, very good. February, we still have rain. The full March seems to have a very good estimate for rainfall and also for planting. Our planting is lagging behind a little bit, and we might still have this in April, and we will start the harvest in the second or the third week of April. Because of that, there is a slight delay, but apparently we will have a much better year regarding yield. And having a better yield, and it is only natural for us to have a decrease in our fixed costs in the same proportion. And our thinking is that we will have a nominal cost when you talk about the diesel, labor, fertilizers, everything included, nominal in billion reals equal to this year, given the fact that this year we had a very high cost. So nominally, it would be at the same magnitude of this year. If I am able to improve my yield 15%, my unit cost will be dropping 5%, and so on and so forth. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, we were saying that this would be the year when we would reach 24 million. And we made all our efforts to get there, and with the best possible variety of sugarcane to be harvested. So let's see this, let's wait and see. And we are doing 20, and to reach 24, it will take a few years still, but we have we will expect a very good response. The export premium, Let me check the data here. So far, for the 9 months year to date, 243,000 cubic meters in exports at an average price, export price of 3,841 per cubic meter, already net of all the costs. And this price was in the order of magnitude of 15-20% higher than the domestic market, looking at the average for the 9 months. And in the last quarter, I will still have about 60,000 to 80,000 for exports cubic meters and hydro at a slightly lower price, 3.5, 3.3, already net of taxes. And I have a very small exposure of ethanol to the domestic market, so we didn't suffer because of the drop in prices. And for the next year, I cannot really tell you yet what the premium will be vis-à-vis the domestic market, but I believe that it will be smaller because we believe that PIS and COFINS will come back at the beginning of March, as the government has already indicated in late December, early January, postponing for a couple of months for the PIS and COFINS for gasoline and ethanol. So we expect this to come back, and this would mean a lower premium in exports, or maybe non-premium for exports, and the ethanol would be basically all channeled to the domestic market. But we did a great job this year, and we are talking about something close to 300,000 cubic meters. And we have conquered a very important market in Europe. We have big clients there, and if there is a premium, of course, we will continue to cater to this market in the next 2 years. And decreasing our exposure to the domestic market, but it's very difficult to talk about the level of premiums and they will probably be concentrated between May and June. Thank you very much. Guilherme Palhares, Bank of America. The nominal flat cost year on year, you talked about that. But maybe you could talk about the cost for April and which are the major offenders or the vectors of a lower cost for next year. We believe the fertilizers will have a lower price, and there is a trend of using less of this product per hectare. So how do you see this? And the second question, in relation to the remaining CapEx of the plant, how much do you still have to invest? If you look at the costs, you will see that the highest cost is sugarcane with 38%. And the cost of the sugarcane is outside this number of stability. It could go up or down depending on the Consecana. When I say that nominally the cost will be similar, I'm talking about the cost on which we have a higher control because sugarcane, it will depend on Consecana. So labor represents around 20%. SG&A follows inflation, maybe slightly higher than inflation or freight expenses, and they play a major part because we have a relevant harvest of grains, for instance, and this could have an impact. Fertilizers and pesticides, 15%, and these are dropping 20, 25%. And the industrial inputs are dropping as well. Okay. When I look at the total plus the gain of efficiency that I have, consuming less diesel per machine and using less fertilizers and having a more precision agriculture, so to say, the lower consumption of fertilizers and the higher technology and efficiency gains, together with the drop in pesticides and industrial inputs and fertilizers, all that together will bring the costs down. Labor and freight might offset this trend. If I am able to get a higher yield, this will lead to a lower unit cost per hectare or per cubic meter or whatever indicator. The corn CapEx, let me check here the most recent information that I have here. We published. The estimate is that in this harvest, I will be spending about 300 million reals, 320 million reals, and so far I have spent 270. So I still have 50 million reals to spend in corn, and this should drop in the second quarter, and in cogeneration, about 80 million remaining. So this is the bulk of our CapEx. The mill is ready, the plant is ready, and UTE will be ready in August and will be started up in August. But the contract itself, well, the sale will happen in 2025, according to our contract. So this year, we have 4 or 5 months of harvest, and the next year, we will be selling spot, unfortunately, because the spot price is very low. But as of 2025, this is when I have my full contract in operation for corn. Would it be fair to say that São Martinho should be have will be applying less fertilizer in the next harvest? Not necessarily, not necessarily. It will depend on the sugarcane. If the rainfall is okay, I need less of these products. And the issue of fertilizers depends on the yield and the level of the precision agriculture in the area that I'm harvesting. So not necessarily the decision about fertilizers is not based on prices. It is based on the response of the sugarcane. So in each area, if I place more tons of fertilizers, if the response will make sense, okay, I will do it. Otherwise, I will not do it. The point is, when I say nominal total costs will stay stable, it's not because the amount will be low. It will be a combination of lower prices. Gabriel Barra, Citibank. Can you hear me? I have two questions, Felipe. The first one has to do with hedge. If you take the hedged volume for the next crop 23-24, about 45 to 50%, depending on the mix and the production. Given the moment that we are in and given the prices, could we expect a higher level than this one? How do you see the company's strategy for sugar hedge? And also regarding the price for the 2023-2024 harvest, maybe you're holding back your hedge because of sugar prices. Could you get into details about that, please? And the second point has to do with Boa Vista and corn ethanol. You recently started to operate. In the last calls and talks, you talked about 16% to 20% IRR. Do you think this level of return is still possible with the price situation that you see now and the situation of ethanol in Brazil? And the third question about capital allocation. What about your pipeline besides corn, ethanol, and with higher interest rate and the price policy in Brazil, what are your next projects where you see interesting upside, and maybe you will return this capital to investors, shareholders, instead of applying or investing in new projects? Thank you very much. I will start with sugar. Well, sugar has been going up consistently and surprisingly so. And this what helped the market was the Indian harvest with a drop in production beside the situation in India as well. Regarding the mix, which is more towards ethanol because of the adoption of the flex cars in the Indian fleet. So these two factors are helping sugar here. So 21.5, and we didn't think it would be possible for the March screen. We have been hedging for discipline reasons and also for risk control reasons. And with the corn ethanol plant for sugar next year, I'm saying that we will still have 60% ethanol and 40% sugar for next year because I have a mill in Goiás, I have a plant in Goiás that crushes 7.5 million tons of sugarcane. If I do the maximum of sugar here, I will be doing 40% sugar. And it's important to hedge so that I have a total TRS hedged at a comfortable level. But trying to be more assertive in answering your question, we have not accelerated our hedge. The level of December continues at the same level. January and February, we didn't do because of what happened in India and also for logistic reasons in Brazil. But in mid-June, July, we expect to have at least 70% already done at a reasonable price. And your second question has to with Boa Vista. UBV, Boa Vista, we have not started production, full production of corn. We still don't have the authorization of ANP to do that, though they visited our plant last week and they are evaluating to give us the authorization. So we are on a test phase. And in test, we are operating quite well, but we are still testing and we are waiting for the authorization of ANP in order to do that, in order to have full production. So they went there on February 8 or 9, and we have to wait for their final report and their final authorization. As I'm talking about harvest, the April, March harvest will be operated full, but we have not started this yet because we have to wait for the final authorization of ANP. And as far as returns are concerned, Gabriel, well, the level is more or less the same, and it will depend on the dynamics, price dynamics regarding gasoline. If PIS and COFINS come back, and this is what we believe will happen, the return, the IRR will be going back to the same level that we had before. So if we have a return of the COFINS and the IBGF, we will be talking about 20-25%. If it does not stay forever, this will be close to the cost of capital. And regarding the allocation for projects for the next few years, concluding UTE and the corn ethanol plant, we do not have anything very important in our pipeline. We only have marginal projects that are still being studied, but they are small projects. And most probably the return that we have will be remunerating our shareholders. There is a project for biomethane that I have already talked about, and we are getting close to the technical evaluation to be submitted to the board between March and April. But this is just a 200 million reals project, so it's not very relevant, such as was the case of the corn ethanol plant. But let's say the situation regarding interest rate change and the PS and COFINS situation, of course, we will continue to evaluate. For instance, the corn plant can double in size very quickly. At UBV, using the cogeneration of the plant itself. So we will be evaluating this, but it will depend. And as the CapEx in the second phase is much higher than the first phase, as you know, that the cost of capital today is very different from the first phase. So we had inflation plus 3, and now it is inflation plus 7 or 8 recently. We made the ventures inflation plus 7. But comparing to the first phase, well, it is inflation plus 3 vis-a-vis inflation plus 7. If you increase your CapEx and you have a higher cost of capital, of course, you cannot have the minimum internal rate of return, and then the company cash will be going to our shareholders in terms of remuneration. Thank you. Thiago Duarte, BTG Pactual. Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to touch on 3 points. Going back to the better prices of ethanol for export. Could you please help us in the maths? The highest price so far in this harvest was very clear, and of course it helps your growth margins, your contribution margins, but it also increases your selling expenses. Could you break down this increase in selling expenses? How much has to do with your ethanol going to export? What I would like to know is the unit margin of the export ethanol, considering the higher selling expenses. And the second question, you talked about that very quickly. You talked about the approval by ANP. But the base case is that you will be able to crush 500,000 tons in 2023-24. Or do you have a ramp up horizon that we should consider, given that we are ready in February and for the next harvest, the impact would be felt in full? And lastly, regarding the internal rate of return for the corn ethanol plant, considering the corn price that you have already paid and that is already in your inventories, we have the impression that the margin of the corn ethanol would be higher than the one that you have been achieving in sugar ethanol, considering the maintenance capex. So is this correct? The corn ethanol unit margin, is it higher than the sugarcane ethanol? Thiago, thank you very much for the question. My freight cost for ethanol for export so far. We are in on item 23, we are talking about 50 million reals more. I would say 10 reals per cubic meter approximately. And the price that I referred to about the export ethanol for the 9 months year to date was 3,841 reals per cubic meter. And the price is already net of selling expenses, export expenses, okay? It is posted to my gross revenue, but it is already net of selling expenses. I can give you the quarter on quarter figures, 3,800 in imports, and the average between both was 3,400, two-thirds domestic market, one-third export for the year to date, 9 months. Regarding the corn mill, the base case is that for the full harvest, we do 500,000 tons. If we had talked at the beginning of January, I might have given you a little bit more. But as we had a slight delay, the base case is 500,000. And the EBITDA margin, cane vis-a-vis corn, it will really depend on the efficiency of my sugarcane fields in the next year. What I can tell you today is that the price of corn of today, 60 reals, for instance, approximately, and DBRS, I can sell 1,500 per ton. My unit cost per cubic meter of corn is about 1,900 reals per cubic meter. And I'm placing this as a reduction factor. I'm talking about the DDGS, 2,600. When you look at all the mills, all the plants, and you look at the sugar mills as well, you can see that corn is much cheaper in this case. Thank you very much. Lucas Ferreira, JP Morgan. Felipe, good afternoon. I have a more qualitative question. When you talk about price policy, We have already seen this in the past up to 2017. What about your strategic planning? How do you deal with the possibility of having the prices of gasoline going up and then dropping steeply? What do you have on the table to do differently from the options you had in the past? You have already talked about exports. Do you believe you will be able to have a bigger portfolio of clients abroad and other certifications? And do you see other players doing the same, or do you believe that this could be a buffer? Many people are producing more sugar because of India. When you talk, what do you discuss? And a follow-up about the corn ethanol plant. I think I have already asked this, but the major part of the profitability has to do with the DDGS. Sometimes the client asks for a product to test and to try. Are you priced at a suboptimal price? What can you tell us about the first year of operation in a nutshell? I will start by the last one. You're talking about suboptimal prices. If the product has already proven that it has the amount of protein and the quality, you can sell the first lot at a lower price, but the volume is very, very negligible. And then the next ones you will go to the market price. And of course, we cannot keep a much lower price. And we have the DDGS that is much better for the animals. And we believe, and the commercial air believe that we will be able to place the product with no problem whatsoever. And you can see that soybeans are going very well, and it is a similar situation regarding the pricing policy. We understand that the Petrobras prices, whether they are going up or down, it doesn't have anything to do exactly with the administration. And the government reduced PIS and COFINS, and it had a negative impact on the whole industry. Let's talk clearly about the measures taken by the Bolsonaro administration, and it was much worse than others. And a lot is said about price control, but so far we have not seen a lot in this regard. Quite the opposite. The prices of gasoline went up, it went up 7.5% in January. And I agree in part with you. If the prices go down very steeply and it goes up very slowly, as you described yourself, going up a ladder and dropping at an elevator speed. But the price cannot be very different from the international prices. The situation is not possible. But internally, we have manners of dealing with this drop. The first one is to access the export market. And as you saw, we will have a record export this year, 300,000 cubic meters of ethanol. And the domestic market having a lower price with the drop of PIS and COFINS, we are able to go to foreign markets that have a premium. And it has the seal of being a renewable source. And another path that we see with positive eyes is the, for instance, in the United States, if somebody has this kind of plant, it may be more advantageous to buy this ethanol because the CI of the American market, they use gas for the boiler. The carbon density is lower in Brazil than in the United States, so that would be something very good. And we can evaluate also the integration of one of our plants in this regard to do this and export. And we didn't have this possibility before. Until some years ago, we didn't have this market. You could go to the export market because the molecule is sustainable. And now this step will be an obligation and companies will have to adapt. And if we do an integrated plant because of CapEx and to decrease the cost of capital, in the United States, the cost of capital is lower and our carbon is lower. And then you can access the export market, this additional export market. So there are many, many ways in the remote possibility of having a control over prices here in the domestic market. We do have ways to circumvent that. And there is a lot of noise about that. The economy has to run, the economy has to work. Ethanol has been increasing a lot in the energy matrix. And the Lula administration has been a major ambassador of ethanol. So it would be nonsense to do anything against ethanol. And I believe that we will have the opposite situation, which would be incentives. But for instance, CBio, the last government wanted to change the CBio when the price that was 300 reals went down to 80. And we might go back to CBios. And if you look at the result, you will see that the combination of CBios plus ethanol sold in the first half, which didn't have the impact of the PS and fees, it was very good in terms of remuneration. Now, if PIS and COFINS come back, then we will have this change in situation going back to normal. Thank you. Regis Cardoso, Credit Suisse. Thank you very much. I would like to go back to the working capital. You said at the beginning that you take the credit of the PS and COFINS, and this is slightly different from what I thought. And there is an implication about accumulating these credits. In the inputs and also the level of taxes on the product. I don't know if on the side of the corn ethanol plant with the byproduct there is some implication in this regard. And then the ICMS as well, because there has been a change in the tax rates, and I don't know whether this generated any impact. And this is a more general question, but could you go a little bit more in depth into the taxes, federal and state taxes, please? The total working capital for the year to date, we are talking about R1.3 billion, of which 330 million reais have to do with the corn and the remainder, 970 or something like that, is working capital. Of these 970 of working capital, the corn inventory does not return. It's like a CapEx. Every year, we will have to maintain this because we need to have this inventory of corn that was bought in the second production, the second harvest that has a better price. It has to do with the project. It was already when we evaluated the project for the corn ethanol, we already had the CapEx plus 250,000 tons of corn as working capital in order to run the project. When we go to these accumulated, we have to separate this into two, 630 million reais, basically with clients and suppliers to these returns when I sell my product. The remainder, 280 or 300, are taxes recoverable. Most of these are federal because the ICMS is very small. What happened with the ICMS budget was that we had a tax rate in São Paulo, 12, and it went down to 9. The product that I continued to buy, diesel and fertilizers, I take the credit if the ICMS is on the invoice. As I exported a lot of ethanol, 300,000, and exports don't have these taxes, I accumulated these credits this year because of that, because of the exports. For the ICMS specifically, it would be 20% of the volume, and the remainder, 80%, is PIS and COFINS. They are the most relevant because we pay on ethanol 130 reais per cubic meter of PIS and COFINS, and this was generated because of the change in the drop of the tax rate in the Bolsonaro administration. These 120, we believe that we can return this in about 18 months to zero this working capital. When you talk about the federal tax, PIS and COFINS, I can deduct this from the IR to be paid as the company is a profitable company. When we accumulate PIS and COFINS, it helps us. Because it can be deducted from the income tax payable. In corn, I almost have no input with this credit. As we have 80% of the cost, when I buy corn, I don't have ICMS or PIS and COFINS. When I transform corn into ethanol, then I have PIS and COFINS. There is no ICMS because I'm included in a system in which I don't pay this ICMS, but we do have PIS and COFINS, and it will help us to when it starts more quickly.
Understood. Thank you.
Another question, please. In a broader agenda of the industry and with the change in the administration, what changes are desirable, more specifically regarding the PIS and COFINS, but maybe would that be an ad valorem tax for ethanol and also CBIO? Do you have the same targets consistently, or do you change every year? The CBIOs should be the distribution companies liable to pay these? And what would be constructive changes for the sector? Well, predictability is very important for the sector as a whole. Make investments in a sugarcane ethanol plant, you start to operate at a certain scale after 3 years. You have to plant, you have to stabilize the fields at least 3 years from the moment you make the decision to the moment when you have some profitability. So predictability is very important. For a long time, we have not seen investments in ethanol by means of sugarcane. CBio is fundamental, and maintaining CBio the way it was before and with all the targets and going back to the previous situation and not having to change every single year. Keeping the plan of decarbonization of the energy matrix of the country. This is fundamental because then you can foresee in the cash flow what will the price of CBio be. If every year you have to postpone the target, they have no predictability. So it is fundamental to have a framework of CBios without the change in the target. And the monophase or one phase question is not really the case for the sector. This is not a problem. If you place this monophase in the sector, the sector is not homogeneous. You have companies from A to Z, so we do not agree with that. The ideal situation is to leave the situation as it is because it is working properly. And lastly, and I think this will happen, and with any government, it will be the same dynamic. Any CEO of Petrobras who sits there will have a pricing policy, be it cost plus premium or whatever. So this is very important for us so that we may model, so that we may model this. And we have to work with what we have. Apparently, it will be something close to the international situation. But we need clear reels, clear rules, so that we may make the accurate investment decisions. Thank you. Daniel Razão, Itaú. Good afternoon, everybody. You talked about the logistic challenge that the country is facing, and maybe it will be even worse because of the very good harvest of grains. Do you believe there will be any difficulty in terms of logistics for you for this year? Is there a concern in terms of contract, or do you see any opportunities to improve logistics? And you also talked about the offenders in your cost structure. How do you see competitiveness of São Martinho vis-a-vis other players in the market, the cost break-even of São Martinho vis-a-vis the other players' break-even? And a major part of the incentive that you talked about are valid for all players, but maybe you see a possibility of gaining share over other players that have less financial capacity to cope with lower prices of ethanol for a longer time. Daniel, logistics are more related to sugar in general, and not because of São Martinho specifically. All our sugar today is via railway, and distributing sugar shouldn't be a problem at the end of the harvest. Maybe the cost will go up because the price that we pay for railway usage might go up if the freight goes up, but we do not foresee any problems regarding distributing our sugar in relation to cost. There are two factors for the company, and that are foreseeable for the 2 years ahead of us. The first one has to do with yield. It affected the whole sector, but for us, the impact was bigger because I have 70% of our own sugarcane and companies that are more integrated, and they have a deleverage, operational deleverage, and the total unit cost goes up. And the other day we were doing the math here. Let me check here. But in 2 years, my unit cost per TRS went up about 50%, 50%. Overall, almost half of that was the operational deleveraging. When I return with the production of TRS equivalent at a better level, I had 79 per hectare, and if I return to 80, 85, which is what I usually had in the past, this will reduce my cost of operation. And the second factor, accounting for 70% of the cost increase, we understand it is a structural issue regarding fertilizers, diesel, and crop protection products, and labor going up 22%. And it is here to stay. So, just to give an idea, if you take the 2021 harvest, we had TRS production of 3,300, and this year we are talking about 2,800 for this year, a very significant drop, and the cost going up to 1,600 per TRS, 6% in 2 years, 60% in 2 years. Most of that is explained by the drop in the TRS produced. And the good news is that we should be going back to higher yields. I'm not going to go back to the maximum such as we had in 2021, but most of that will come back for the next year should rainfall continue and yield responding. And this will help us in regard of costs. And structurally speaking, we have a lower cost on average. I would say it's about 1% lower if you put all the players on the same base. But the fact is that it is very difficult to get a neighboring area to plant more cane, and your neighboring areas, they want to protect themselves and they need that additional income. And this will always happen. And what happens is that we have been seeing that the volume produced in the center south is at a stable level, and it has remained at this level for many years because the sector is growing in the Center-West by means of corn or brownfield that grow modularly, but the volume crushed is dropping when you look at a longer window, 8 to 10 years. The reason for that is that some are facing problems and it is unfeasible for a mill to continue producing when it is more expensive to harvest the cane than the price that they will be getting when they sell the sugar. So you have the harvest, you have the rural traffic and the planting. That if you don't do the first two, you have to do the third, which is the harvest. And if yield is very low, they just stop harvesting. And this is when another player may take advantage of that. This does happen sometimes, but it is very difficult to tell you how much we would be able to gain in share. Thank you. Cristianal de Santander. Two quick questions. When you talked about the options depending on the petrol prices, that you talked about accessing the ethanol market. How fast can you do that? If you have a window opening in this regard in Europe, for instance, can you sign a contract immediately and be very quick and or do you have companies or plants interested in your product already in the United States? Anhydrous ethanol is the one that is exported or the H2 industrial. If the window opens both in the United States for their own consumption or carburant or in Europe, we can quickly sign the contract. This is a fast process. But STAP is already different because first you have to have the technology in place, you have to have somebody investing in the technology there, and it has to prove it is feasible. Looking at 18 months or 24 months, we already see many players moving in this direction in order to place the product and some are too included for the next harvest from April to March, April. We have to look at the export market for fuel, for carburant. And in the long run, then we can look at another market which is more profitable, the stock. Updates regarding gasoline that could impact the state ICMS? Or is it still being discussed? With no decision, continues to be discussed and no decision. You're talking about the possibility of gasoline not staying within not being considered as a staple, an essential good, and then we would have the difference of 17% in ICMS, but so far, no news in this regard. I would like to remind you that in order to ask a question, you should press star one. In order to remove your question from the queue, please press star two. Please stand by while we wait for questions. As there are no more questions, I would like to give the floor back to Mr. Felipe Vicchiato for his closing remarks.
Thank you very much for participating in our call. We will all be available to you should you need any further clarification, and if we do have news or material facts, we will inform you. São Martinho conference call has come to an end. Thank you very much for participating, and we wish you a very good afternoon. Thank you.